is The Film Effect with Tiff.
What we're really dealing with are narcissists.
When you first meet, they seem amazing.
I gotcha.
What, are you flirting with me?
What, me? No.
Narcissists are easy to flag.
Fast forwarding.
We're soulmates.
Love bombing.
I love you, Eva.
Have designed this class to empower you to recognize a narcissistic lover before it's too late.
Hi, hon. How are you?
Mom, you are never going to believe this.
I'm engaged.
Hi.
Hello?
Engaged after 6 weeks?
Red flag.
Eva is a very smart girl. Don't worry.
Narcissist.
Judy, welcome.
They think they're royalty.
And you're the only son.
And the baby.
Mon petit prince. That means
my little prince.
That's a red flag.
Well, 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 I'm back, everybody, and I have an amazing episode this week. It's a very special episode. I actually got to speak with the director and co-writer of this really cool film. If you haven't guessed the title, it's called You're Dating a Narcissist. I'm sure many of you may relate or may not, or maybe you're wondering, what is a narcissist? Well, this is a conversation you don't want to miss. This film stars Marissa Tomei, Sherry Cola, Ciara Bravo, and so many other amazing people. You will totally enjoy this film. It's going to be released, I think today actually is the day. And I sat down with my good friend, Kalinda with Thrive 302, and Anne-Marie Allison, the director, and we got into a really good chat, not only about the film, but also about the themes in this film. So sit back and get ready for an awesome listen.
Welcome, Anne-Marie.
Hi. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I'm also here. My name's Tiffany, and I'm really excited to talk about You're Dating a Narcissist.
Yes, we're going to jump right in. I'm Kalinda, and we've been talking about having this opportunity to have this conversation for a long time. So yeah. Let's jump right in and start with the first question about what drew you to the idea of building a romantic comedy around a narcissistic relationship?
I'm going to have to go back years to explain how we are here today, but the truth is that in my 20s, I had dated and got secretly engaged to what we would call now a narcissistic man. However, at the time in my mid-20s, I was a graduate student. I was actually studying psychology, if you can believe it. But I had no idea what that was or the patterns or the things to look out for. No idea at all. And it wasn't until a friend of mine years later, to back up, I was in this relationship. It got very toxic. It was very, emotionally damaging. And my girlfriends actually kind of saved me, where they were like, look, you're not the same girl you once were, and we need to take you away and like help you kind of clear your mind. At the time, what I didn't realize is they were helping me go no contact, which is something that, in narcissistic relationships becomes necessary.
Yeah.
But it did help me, sort of clear the fog, see the light. And even though there were a couple more back and forth dramatic conversations and fights, eventually I did break up with him for good and moved on with my life. But it was something that always sort of like was in the back of my mind when I met new people. It was like, when are you going to change? When are you going to turn into somebody that you weren't at the beginning of this relationship? My poor husband, who is a gem, by the way, when I first met him, I was like, when are you going to change? When are you going to flip the switch and just become somebody else? And he was like, I do not know what you're talking about. So fast forward about 10 years, and a friend of mine was going through a divorce with a man that we thought was wonderful at the beginning of everything. In fact, I was one of her bridesmaids and was so happy and full of joy on her wedding day. And her therapist, basically, when they were trying to, go through family therapy to try and figure out ways to co-parent, that therapist called him a narcissist to my friend. And when she came home and told me this, I was like, narcissist? I was like, what? I was like, aren't those like Disney villains and, mustache twisty people or people who, are obsessed with their looks or things? This is not what this man was. And And then the more she told me about it, I was like, oh my God, I did not just have a bad boyfriend. I had dated a narcissist. Mm. And I was in my 30s when I discovered this, you know, years later. And it had been still sort of swirling in my mind. There was some shame there. There was some confusion still. And I had already been writing screenplays for a while. I'd been doing film and shorts and things. And I thought, man, you know, when I look around at what kind of romantic comedies are they're basically, you know, celebrating this kind of behavior pattern and teaching us all that maybe this is okay. And I just felt really called to present a story that, you know, was essentially a comedy, a romantic comedy, but really played with these ideas of narcissism in relationships, specifically intimate relationships. So that is how the story came to be. I at the time, my writing partner at the time, I went to her and said, I've discovered this thing. It's really like just to understand this has helped me so much to get over these feelings of shame and sadness. I really want to write something about this. And she was kind enough to say that she would help me. And the first draft of the film was written in like 2012, 2013.
Wow. Hmm.
Yeah. So it's been a long, long process, but that's the inciting incident, as they say.
Well, I mean, that's an amazing story that you were able to go through all of that and then be able to transform that into this movie. And which you so brilliantly balance the humor with the uncomfortable truths about narcissism.
Yeah, I was joking with Kalinda because I watched it and I was like, first of all, I love Marissa Tomei and I feel like I am Marissa Tomei. So I was like, did she just make a movie about my life? Like, what is this? Like, I literally was like, whoa. But I have a personal experience with this as well. I don't want to give too much detail, but I'm going to say I've been very affected by being in a narcissistic relationship. And it is weird because you don't know exactly what's happening to you. And I think to your point, it's funny you said that. I do think that romantic comedies and movies in general kind of play up to this idea that that is what you want. You know what I mean? And I think that actually really affected me growing up. And so it's hard to see the signs. And it was funny watching it. And I'll let Kalinda, you know, she has questions too. But yeah. I was really like, there were scenes that were coming up in your film. And I was like, do not do that. I'm like, there's another one. I was like, here we go. Because once you have the experience, and I have learned a lot about it myself, just through going to therapy and things like that. Now I can see it clear as day. You know what I mean? And it was, her character really did a really good job of finding the humor in this, because as you know, it's not really a funny thing. It's kind of a really hard, traumatic thing for people. But the way that you were able to turn this into comedy was kind of refreshing. And also, like, I think it is healing to put a twist on it, because then you don't have to feel like you're a victim anymore, you know? And I love that she was such a powerful character, even though she was taking it a little too far. You can see why. But I'll just, that's my first share. So go ahead, Kalinda.
Yeah, I love the Marissa Tomei connection there. And I can see
who
it.
Who doesn't love Marissa Tomei?
I can see it. I mean, well, and like, just talk to us a little bit about the all-star cast. I mean, it had to be so wonderful. We love the setting. We love the cast of the characters. So tell us a little bit about that portion of it.
Well, yeah, I was incredibly lucky to land Marissa Tomei for this lead role. It was really, she was on my vision board for many years, because I feel like Marissa as an actor, she has such range, and we know her, you know, we know her from something as dramatic as In the Bedroom. And we also know her from My Cousin Vinny, to be able to balance those extremes is really, it's a tough thing to do. And I knew that Judy's a lot. And yeah. I would get feedback when I would,
she would go all Judy
out.
On you, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was funny.
I would get feedback, you know, especially from male executives and my, that, you know, she was unlikable and, you know, but I just want to say that she's complex and she's dealing with her own level of shame and she's, you know, but she's also, you know, funny and smart and giving and loving, but she also has a set of personality traits that, you know, that are maybe a little bit bristly, but it's like, that's a human being, you know? Mm-hmm, and right. so to get Marissa into the role of Judy was an absolutely dream. And, you know, I found very quickly that with someone of her caliber, there were a lot of actors that wanted to work with her and wanted, you know, and then also, you know, every single person that came on board, every piece of cast, let's say Sherry Cola or Sierra Bravo, Marco Pagosi, Jose Maria, they all had their own stories about, you know, dealing with narcissism in their life, whether it was, you know, romantic or not. That was not necessarily always the case, but like, you know, to talk with them and to tell them like what I was trying to do with this film, which is balance tragedy with comedy. It's a very difficult thing to do, especially when you're talking about someone with which is just true, a personality disorder, and kind of taking that negativity out on everybody around them. It is hard to do, but I found myself, you know, talking a lot to the cast about why the laughter is important to me. And it's because I feel like I take my own power back when I'm able to sort of laugh at a situation or just like recognize the humor in it. And I know it's like, what do they say, that, you know, tragedy plus time equals comedy, you know? I had some years to not only recover from my own experience, but then to hear, when I was telling people about this film, you know, hear everybody's stories, and they became more and more absurd. And you know, just to be able to say, hey, it's okay, and it happened to me, and I can step into my power and laugh at this a little bit, then I think it made everybody feel a little bit better and a little less ashamed. So anyway, the cast was amazing, and they got it from day one, and you know, they're all exceptional actors, but also really good humans. So it came together, I think, in a way that it made me really, really proud.
Yeah, well, it definitely comes across on the screen that way. You could just see, like, you get lost in the movie because you don't see them, like, as the actor or actress they are, but you just see them as the character that they're playing, and they do that beautifully. So in terms of the relationships, what about the meaningful, like, the mother-daughter dynamic at the center? Like, that, what drew you into that relationship as a lens for seeing that truth more clearly?
Well, that's a great question. And it's funny because I've had some audience members call this movie a mom-com, which I thought was really great. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm stealing that.
I do love that.
It's good, yeah. And, you know, essentially the film is showing three different women at three different stages in sort of the narcissistic relationship. And if you've studied narcissism, and there's a typical pattern that happens when you're with them, which is idealized, devalue, discard. Mm-hmm. And this is a cycle that they can repeat, you know, upteen times without getting tired. And you, on the other hand, are getting more and more drained. So each one of the women in the film is in their own kind of pocket of that cycle. So, you know, Eva's being idealized. Diane is being devalued in that she's having this hot and cold relationship with her narcissist, and Judy is in the full discard phase, but she's still sort of reeling from the shame of being discarded, and also that she couldn't change this person that said that they loved her so much, you know. Mm-hmm. So all of that is kind of playing into the situation between the mother and the daughter, because I think Judy's, you know, one saving grace of this marriage that she had been, you know, in the basically the wash cycle of idealized, devalued, discard for years and years with this person, that the one, you know, gem that came out of that was her daughter Eva. And Eva is an empath. I mean, she's an artist. Yeah. She wears her heart on her sleeve. She believes that love conquers all, like how we all, you know, idealize love and what that means, and how humans all want to connect. At the end of the day, we do. That's like what makes life so joyful. So she just is, you know, there's a line in it where she's like, I'm not a typical mom, you know, but she's like a mama bear to us all, you know? Mm-hmm. And, I just knew that with that relationship. It's like we wanted to feel the love between them, but we also needed to feel the tension, because in a certain sense, I feel like Judy is, you know, trying to save Eva, but in a certain sense, trying to save her own, you know, inner child, if you will, that's like from this fate.
That's exactly what I said to her before we were, before we got into this. I saw that whole dynamic. I was like, 'cause I also have a daughter that's 21, and, obviously as a parent, you're like a mama bear, right? We all have that in us, but I felt like, and I wasn't sure if you were doing that, but I was kind of thinking like, I feel like her daughter's also her inner child, especially as you see the story mm-hmm. make it full circle towards the end. I think she's healing her own inner child. And that's mm-hmm. kind of like what's happening with her daughter. And she learns through the experience with her daughter how to heal herself and how to kind of settle it down, because she's so, in the beginning, you know, you said she's a little too much. She's out of control. But mm-hmm. for reasons that make sense, she's valid. I mean, I think I actually came away from my relationship pretty, I think it makes you vigilant, and it makes you like almost you're on the defense. You're like looking, you're mm-hmm. worried, you're scared. You're like, you know, you kind of, it's hard to trust people. It's hard to believe people. So many things. Right. So, anyway, yeah, that's interesting that you said that, 'cause I did pick up on that in the film.
Well, that's great. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
So in terms of people watching this, you know, I think that there'd be a lot of conversations that start. What are some of the things that you hope that this film sparks between them and watching it together?
Wow. What a great question. What would I hope it would spark between people? I mean, I feel like, you know, in some small way that this could help people feel like a little bit lighter, maybe, mm-hmm. and a little less scared of mm-hmm. trusting people.
Yeah.
Because it's absolutely true that you come out of these relationships and you've been forever altered. But it took me some time to realize that, what, especially once I really understood the dynamics that were happening, mm-hmm. that it wasn't my fault, that that, you know, some people unfortunately are just dealing with certain things that make it almost impossible to truly connect and love them in a healthy way. And, you know, that, but I'm still like stronger for it. It's not necessarily like a bad thing that I tried to love this person. And that they tried to love me, you know, in their way or whatever. It's just like, I got to a place where I was like, it feels like it made me stronger. And even though I would never wish that on anyone, at the end of the day, I wouldn't be who I am. And I certainly wouldn't have gotten a chance to make a film and direct a film that meant so much to me. You know, this is a true, like, artistic dream that came true for me.
That's awesome.
So I guess just feeling a little lighter, a little more seen, and, you know, recognizing how important your friendships are in your life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's all different types of love. And, you know, when you have good girlfriends on your side and then there's nothing you can't do, you know?
Yeah. Those scenes in the movie were so much fun when they were gathering by the pool and they were dancing, and, you know, the music track and this also was like very moving. I felt like all the scenes really tied together with that background. You made some great selections there.
Yeah. And I love the relationship with her and her friend. I mean, that whole thing is so great, especially, like I said, bringing the comedic side to it. Even though you don't listen, it's not a great thing to do, stalk people, try to steal their phone. But I love those scenes. I was like, yes, get him. You know, like, 'cause you do, you're like, if you've been there, you're like, yeah, I want to prove him. You know, you kind of, there's a whole thing about being validated and not feeling crazy. I mean, that really hit me to the core. Like that idea that you constantly feel like you're being gaslit or crazy or something. So you kind of just mm-hmm. like want to find the truth.
Yes.
What's the truth? Let's find the truth. Now, like you said, like, and actually I'll say this too. I really didn't know which way this was going to go.
Right.
As mm-hmm. you're going yeah. along, like, yeah. I really was like, I don't know, man, is this going to go yeah. Yeah. one way or the other? I don't know. Yeah. Because
was he a good guy? Like at the end, and sometimes I would think that, but then there were little red flags, like you said, that he would yeah. say something and I would be like, okay, wait, no, like that was like my first clue that he really, it's not going to turn out well.
Right. And then also, isn't that the whole thing where you don't know if someone right. is a narcissist? Like you really mm-hmm. don't know. That's how confusing it is. So that was yes. fun, but it was fun to watch the two of them join forces to kind of like, you know, save her. And I don't know. It was just funny. And they were a great duo too. Just the different dynamics yeah. of both of their characters were cool.
So fun.
Yeah. Yes. I love their dynamic as well. And, you know, and thank you for saying that, because in a certain sense, I was going for that, where the audience would feel a little bit, like, for lack of a better term, gaslit, like a little bit more cognitive dissonance, you know, like what's going on, because nobody sets out to fall in love with someone that mm-hmm, is a exactly. narcissistic personality disorder or, you know, high on the narcissism scale. Nobody wants that. They don't. And you know, the thing that I've learned over the years of trying to make this film and talking with people is just how it's happened to everybody. And it doesn't even matter how smart you are. And that's one of the things that, you know, I think is, you know, a little bit of irony I'm playing with is that Judy is a PhD in psychology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
she can't
and
see it. Right.
She's the smartest woman in the room, and she can't even see, you know, the whole picture. And she also fell for it too, you know, when she was young, and she was on her way to bigger and better things in her mind. And, you know, she got hit by the narc train, as we like to say.
The narc train. That's right.
So yes, thank you. Yeah. I love that you guys took that, you know, feeling with you, because that's something I want to show people that haven't been through this, because sometimes I feel like you do get those looks, those curious looks as to why you're with this person, and people make you feel ashamed for loving someone that could be so messed up or whatever. And, you know, it's a difficult thing. And, it's a difficult thing when you're in it and when you're outside of it. So,
yeah.
Well, and you said this earlier, like at its core, it's really about, you know, finding love and the search for real love. And we all want to feel that connection, and humans want to connect in that way. So how would you define love after telling this story?
Wow. That's a good question.
You know, I feel like, well, it's funny because, you know, and I think this is very true. It's like when you come out of a narcissistic relationship, you kind of go on this journey of like, and I've heard this not only from my own experience, but just everybody that has talked to me, like a journey of trying to find love for yourself mm-hmm. and loving mm-hmm. yourself, like truly loving yourself. And like, what does that really mean? Like, you know, and it's accepting yourself unconditionally, the good and the bad, and just allowing those scary emotions to come in. And if you are really a centered person who does have, you know, compassion toward yourself, you're going to be a little less likely to be pulled into one of these narcissistic relationships, because there's so much about that where you are feeling like, oh, I can help this person, or mm-hmm. we have this cosmic connection, and it, you know, the idealization feels so good because you're not feeling those feelings from yourself, which is a process of, I think, of just living life and like getting older, getting wiser, recognizing that no one is perfect, including yourself, and, you know, radical acceptance, you know? And, so I would say, like, there's a book actually by Tara Reid, I believe it's called Radical Acceptance. And that was something that I remember reading early on when I was like, why, you know, not, 'cause not only was I dating a narcissist, but then I started realizing, I'm like, wow, there's a lot of people in my life that are pretty narcissistic and doing mm-hmm. things that are very draining. And I keep letting my boundaries be crossed, and, you know, I'm okay being lied to. And, you know, like as long as the sob story is good enough about why they did, I'll still be friends with you. Like, you know, and so I feel like that loving yourself is something that, you know, would be a great message, and something that I took from, you know, even becoming an artist and being able to be a film writer. It's like you have to have a certain amount of compassion for yourself, that you have something to say, and you know, that it's even if people don't like it, that's okay. You know, like the critics are going to say this and that, but you got to just be okay with yourself, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah.
Well, that's a long answer.
That definitely,
that's a great answer.
Yeah. And that's, that leads into like the next thing that we're thinking about. Like, what was there a moment on set where you thought like, this is exactly why I wanted to do this?
A moment on set. This is exactly why. I mean, I feel like, you know, it's funny. I won't name names, but this just sprung to my mind. Uh-huh. There was a crew member on the set that was having an issue, a personal issue with mm-hmm. someone they were working with, mm-hmm. On another project, and they kept kind of like talking about, you know, this drama that was going on and feeling, and this person ended up being kind of sick. Like they ended up getting ill, and later, months later, he came to me and he said something like, I can't believe I got so ill, you know, during this particular thing. And I said something like, well, your body knew what your brain did not.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and he was like, oh. And then he realized, he was like, yeah, I was working with a narcissist. Mm. And he was like, oh my God, like I literally physically got sick from being around this person. And I was like, yeah. And him just kind of like having this like aha moment. And then he was like, I'm not going to work with this person anymore. And, you know, got out of that relationship. And I was like, that felt pretty good to just get this person out of one situation where they had the, you know, awareness to realize this isn't good for me.
No, that's and, really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
very powerful.
Yeah.
I find that a lot too. I've seen a lot. Yeah, no, but I think, I mean, that's a much more serious like result, but I think that happens to people a lot. And I think what's so awesome, just listening to you share about, you know, you having a personal experience, you're an artist, you want to tell a story. I mean, I think that's what's great about being an artist. And I think honestly, sharing the stuff that is like our personal stories, things we've overcome, it does need an audience. People relate, you know, that's where all the stories come from. Right. So I think it's so great that you were willing to share this and put it in a film. I think so many people are going to resonate with it. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a movie like this. And I know so many people that have been affected by a situation like this, bringing a little bit of awareness in a way where people can take it in and not feel, like you said, like it's their fault or there's something wrong with you or there's like, it's okay. It happens to everybody. You know, mm-hmm. it brings it out of the isolation, which is really cool.
Yeah, it takes the stigma out of it. It takes too. And some of the shame that, you know, okay, I can see this on the big screen and I can see, and I can have a conversation about it and it's okay.
Yeah. And maybe more people will have conversations about it. And that's kind of cool too, is like just spreading the awareness that like this happens. There are people that are, like you said, a little disordered.
Or a lot.
Or a lot.
And then speaking about that, like in terms of the, you know, the timing now in the world that we're in, you know, like I feel like it's actually a great time for this film to be released and to be coming out and being streamed and for people to mm-hmm. have a chance to kind of sit down. And what would you say about that, about the timing now?
You know, it's feeling very in the zeitgeist. Guys, you know, like 10 years ago or even more now, the first draft of the film, nobody knew what I was talking about, you know, and I was doing research and I was trying to create these scenarios that could be in a film, you know, but I wasn't exactly sure the story I was telling yet until I kind of realized the story I was telling was, you know, around Judy recovering and fully recovering, even though she's very knowledgeable about it, like trying to help others, you know? And so it's really wild to see how this has grown over that period of time. I mean, the, you know, the social media aspect of it, there's so much more content. I feel like mm-hmm. the younger people understand these things. They are very tuned into mental health and making mm-hmm. sure that they take care of their mental health like they take care of their physical health. So all of that just feels really good in that, you know, people are sort of getting there on their own. It just took me a minute to get this movie made, because all movies take some time. So I am feeling like I'm just glad people are open to it and can understand, like, there could be a comedy version of this, because there certainly have been horror films. Most horror films star, you know, a narcissist, a full-blown right. malignant true. Narcissist. Yeah. Psychotic, violent narcissist. Yeah. So
the vampires we talked about in the movie.
Yeah. And so we, you know, but so many people, so many everyday people, smart, classy, every, you know, socioeconomic class, every education level has been in one of these kinds of situations. And, you know, it's not just the Disney villain, you know? So I feel like it's great. It's a great time for it to come out. And I hope it increases the conversation. And I hope it just helps people look at their own mental health and make sure that, you know, they're taking care of themselves in that way. Just like you're going to the dentist, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I had a funny thought. I don't know if I should. I'm like, I'm wondering if anybody watches this film and is like, oh my God, am I a narcissist? but I guess that doesn't happen, right? There's nobody that it's part of one of the traits is they don't.
It's so funny. Of course, that's the first thing you think about. Am I the narcissist?
Right.
And I feel like what's interesting in my research and talking with people is like we can all act. Like narky sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, when you're feeling insecure, when you're feeling sick or feeling insecure, or your inner life has been shattered in some kind of way, like you can have those moments where you don't, you know, you lie, you cheat, you gaslight people, you project. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if you're able to have that moment of going, you know what, I should not have said that or done that, or I don't want to be that kind of person, and you're able to reflect and actually take that in, feel the cognitive dissonance, feel the shame, and course correct. And that means like changing, like actually changing and saying, I won't do that. You know, whatever that thing is, that's humanity, right? Where mm-hmm. nobody's perfect. Everybody can have that. But it's the narcissist will not really mm-hmm. self-reflect. They might say they're sorry. They might give you some kind of weak ass apology, but they will never really course correct. They will never really take accountability in mm-hmm. a real way. They'll never give you an upright apology. They will just project. They will deny. They will gaslight you. They will make it your fault. It always turns into, you know, conversations around semantics. Like you said it like this, and that's why you're just mm-hmm. like, there's no true repair with a narcissist. Like even if you are having a fight and they come and say you're sorry, like trying to get to the repair where you're like, okay, we're not going to hold that against each other for the rest of our lives. That doesn't happen. So like, those are the things that really stick out about true narcissism in a relationship, but that doesn't mean we're all not, you know, having those moments where we could do better. But right. I feel like life is about when you know better, you do better. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately with narcissism, that's not going to happen.
I know. Right. It's so sad, really. Well, I know. Can we come up with a medication or something? I'm just kidding.
Well, and as we, you know, I think we're going to have to start winding down here with the conversation, but I do want to touch on the fact that there's a book. I mean, we see it kind of in the movie, and
I know that's something that
will also be a way to continue the conversation and to raise awareness. So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, thank you. Yes. So yes, in the film, Marissa Tomei's character, Judy Kaplan, is a PhD in psychology, specializing in toxic relationships and personality disorders. And she's written this book called You're Dating a Narcissist. And she's a New York Times bestseller. And, you know, she's teaching a class in New York. I imagine NYU, you know, she's at the pinnacle of her, academic self, basically. And what happens in the film is that, you know, her friend Di is kind of going through this situation where she's calling her her lover, a woman, a narcissist as well. She's like, she's covert, she's this, she's that. And so she gives a book to Di. And throughout the film, you know, as we were filming the movie, I see this prop that my amazing production design team created, the book itself, You're Dating a Narcissist. And I'm watching them talk about it and hand it around and, you know, put little post-its. And I was thinking to myself, my God, I should write that book. I should write that book as like a fun, like marketing companion to the film. Because, you know, it's just, again, more of a self-help with a twist, like a self, yeah, sassy self-help book. Mm-hmm. And so I spent the time that I was in post-production interviewing all the people that I had mentioned to you that I had, you know, crossed paths with about their experiences, and then just put like a Judy spin on the whole self-help kind of book. And so, yeah, I literally just finished it like a month ago.
Oh, wow.
And it's out there. Yeah, it's like the, you know, got a copy, you know, got the copyright and
nice,
did the editing and everything and had all that. So yes, the book should be coming out pretty shortly here in a couple of weeks.
That's great.
Yeah. So it was actually very cathartic and fun to write it in that way. It's like all the knowledge I had accumulated and all the stories and the people that were cheering me on are kind of represented in this book. So it's really cool.
We'll look forward to that for sure. That was a great way to tie everything together.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exciting. Yeah. I want to read it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I would love for you to read it.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Well, the reading and the, you know, the trailer for the movie also is so great. We actually recorded it a little bit earlier and it does a great job of like setting you up for what you're about to see. So we're looking forward to sharing that and this conversation.
Absolutely.
We know we want everyone to be able to tune in and watch and kind of learn and enjoy the ride along the way. So thank you so much for your time, for being with us and sharing all of this insight into the movie.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we're going to be on video on demand, basically any major platform that you can buy or rent a movie, we open on May 1st.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's great.
Good timing for all of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we will get it out there. Help you spread the word because it's a very great movie to watch and to learn about things.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Amber.
Thanks so much for this.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate it.
Yep.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.